are in that place where they're belly aching to God. They're bawling, squalling, their needs very real. And they're saying things to God like, God, I just don't know how I'm going to make it. I just don't, you know, the problem I have is great, and you know the problem. And then God, I need you to come. And it's like we're asking God, who is a merciful God, to be merciful. He's already a merciful God. He already is a God who wants to meet your needs. He's a God that wants to answer your prayers if your prayer life is lined up with His character, nature, and His word and His heart. A lot of times people will come to Deborah and I at the back door and they'll say, could you pray for us? And we'll start to pray. In fact, that happened to Deborah just recently. And in the middle of the prayer, God said, this woman's living with another man. And she is in an adulterous relationship because she's still married. And she's living with another man. And that's what she's praying about, is that relationship be good. Can I tell you something? Prayers like that from people who are not using wisdom are people who don't get answers to prayers. And it's important that we not only be a people of faith, and I'm going to talk to you about that tonight, as we approach God with our prayers, but we are also a people of wisdom. Because when you pray dumb things, because you are in a dumb position, and you want dumb results from God, who is a genius, smart, wonderful, and powerful God, what you're doing is you're throwing Him into the situation as if you're dumb. And you and I, and as if He's dumb. And you and I need to be a people who pray not only of faith, which we're going to see in a moment, but we need to also be people who pray in wisdom. What is God really wanting to accomplish? What does God want me to do? Where are there areas of my life that I need to clean up? There are areas of our life, each one of us, God will just purge them from us. He'll speak to us about getting it right in our areas of our life. And may I say this to you? God is a very merciful God who will work with you while you clean up your life in order for you to get in the position of having answered prayers. You know, I love what it says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. It says in verse number 6 that it is impossible, might as well just put it up on the overhead, it is impossible for us to please God. And then he comes along, except by, listen to these words, please God. He says, without faith, it's impossible for us to please God. And then he comes along and he says this, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. And I've said this to you a million times before, but when you approach the throne of God, he who comes to God must believe that he is God. That he is a God that is not held back by our own thinking, our own insecurities, our merciless activities, or even our lack of wisdom. But we need to be wise enough to realize that he's God. And we don't need to insult him with where we're at in areas of sin and asking him to get involved in that area of sin other than to remove the sin from our life. So God comes along and makes us, if you're going to come to God, he says you must believe that he is. And then he comes along and he says this, and this is for every one of us that are in prayer tonight, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The Bible tells us that the fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Not just somebody who throws up anything. Not just somebody who just says, well, it's a token thing to do. Or I should spend some time in prayer. We need to be a people who are diligently seeking God and be fervent about what it is that we're petitioning the Lord for. And then when we do, we've got to come to Him with some form of wisdom backed by faith that He's a God that's getting on my side. It's hard for God to get on your side if you're out of sync with God. It's hard for God to get on your side if you're in sin with God. It's hard for God to get into you. He's not going to go where your sin is. So therefore, you and I have got to get to a place, and that's why we had an altar call right off the bat, so that these people can get answers to some prayers and get washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God forgave your sins. But that doesn't mean you don't sin between now and the next time you get together. But guess what? You've got to believe that he's going to wash those sins away. And you got to believe that he's going to minister to you and you walk in great faith, because you and I need to approach God in a mighty way where we get results in prayer. I like what it says in Mark, the 11th chapter. Familiar verses, we all know them by heart. We've quoted them over in verse number 22. It says, have faith of God. Here's Jesus himself speaking. Listen to the words. Have faith in God. In fact, if you want to just turn there in your Bible, let's take a look at it together in the 11th chapter. You ought to circle these because I don't know that there's any better prayer verses than some of these verses that we're going to look at. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. In other words, I'm going to boldly approach the throne of grace in a time of need. Hebrews tells me that I can boldly approach the throne of grace. Why do I boldly approach the throne of grace? Because it's not me that gets the job done, but it is God. And I have to be in at least a right position with God. I at least ought to get some of the areas of my life that are out of sync back into sync. That's just wisdom, guys. Being prepared to make the changes. But I also need to, if I'm coming to God, believe that he is God and that he is diligent to reward those who diligently seek him. So here he comes along and he makes a statement, have the faith of God. Can I say something? God would never say have the faith of God if you couldn't have the faith of God. God doesn't trick you. God's not hitting you in the head with a 2x4 and laughing at you from heaven and say, I told them to have faith in God, and they don't have really any faith in God. You can have faith in God tonight. This is not about you other than the fact that you're right with God. You're washed by God's blood. And if you are in sin, you're diligent to get out of that sin and get into the holiness of God. And make your petitions known to God and get right with God. And you must believe that he is God. That's a portion of faith that you do. And then he comes along and says, have faith in God. And guess what, guys? Can I just say this to you? When you have faith in God, it's a God that can do whatever he wants to do. Answer prayers, change the world, change your economy, change your family, children, finance, change everything. I mean, you'd be the biggest loser in your world, and God come along and make you the biggest winner. That's what this is all about. You'd be the sickest person, and God would heal you and raise you up, make you the healthiest, strongest person. God do whatever God wants to do. So all of us have got to approach the throne of grace with some form of faith and have the faith of God. Then the very next verse that comes along, if you will, in verse number 20, see, for assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, stop right there. Look back up at me. Circle the word mountain. Every one of you in here tonight got mountains ahead of you. I mean, let's face it. If you're just praying for a family member, it's a mountain to move that family member. Someone showed me, shared with me today at the back door. They couldn't believe that the family that they've been praying for just got saved. They got saved about 4 weeks ago. They brought their family back. They said they're the roughest, toughest people. They never wanted anything to do with God. Came forward, got saved. So don't tell me that's not a mountain. God can do this. He says, assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to the mountain, you're going to have to start speaking some faith to this mountain, this problem that you have in your life. Didn't say just stare at it. Didn't say just know it's there. We all know it's there. You're going to have to start speaking to it and start believing God. What is the mountains that you're believing for? Is it economics? Is it a marriage? Is it children? Is it finances? What is it that God would have you to start believing for? What are you asking God for tonight as we come into the house of God? Do you have relatives that need to be changed? Do you need to be changed? Is there strongholds in your life? What's the mountain of your life? If there's a mountain in your life, is there something there? You need to start speaking to it. You don't need to bow your knee to it. You don't need to give up on it because it's a big problem. Let me tell you something. No matter what, God's bigger than any mountain. And when you come to him, you got to believe that he is who? What? God. And when you come to him, you believe that he is what? God. Guess what? He's bigger than the mountain. He's the one that created the mountains. And moving those mountains out of the way are not going to be a problem. But you got to do something on your part, not just him. You got to come to him with faith and you got to start speaking over it. And I don't know how many times Deborah and I get together, we speak to the problem. We're not going there. We're not going to let that happen. I mean, this whole world wants to discourage you and frustrate you. You cannot watch the news without having some kind of an insight that there's economic collapse in our nation. In fact, it's not just in our nation, it's worldwide. Can I tell you something? Great, maybe Jesus is coming. And may I also say something else to you? Doesn't matter what happens in the nation. Doesn't matter what happens in the world. You and I are in the world, but not of it. We've got Jesus on our side. And my Bible says he'll supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So if you're watching television, getting discouraged, here's a suggestion. Stop watching television. If not anything else, stop talking about it and start speaking of the mountains that you're facing. Man, I'm not putting up with this economy. There'd be 25 people that get fired from their job, but I'll have mine. And if I don't make it in that job, God's got a better one for me. And the fact that there's 10% of the people out of work doesn't matter. I'm going to be part of the 90% that is working. And you can just sit there and stare all you want to, but I didn't put the words out there. Jesus spoke them. And he says, say to the mountain, assuredly, he says. In other words, without a doubt, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say something to the mountain. Be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. In other words, listen to the words. In other words, here God says, I'm telling the mountain, I want you to tell the mountain. You say, well, I want Jesus to tell the mountain. He's speaking to the mountain through you and through your faith. And he says this, tell the mountain, he says, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. In other words, there's no way I'm going to approach God and start saying, well, God, you're really not big enough to do this. God, I don't know if you can make it. I don't know. My problem's really big. Guess what? God's bigger than your problem. And that's the problem, is that most of the time you see your problem bigger than God. You got a bigger problem than a bigger God. When you have a bigger God than a problem, may I say this to you? The problems become smaller all the time. And you need to speak to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea. And guess what he says? Do not doubt in your heart. In other words, when I come to God, I must believe that he what is. And that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Then he comes along and he says these words, don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things in which he says. Now, I'm not talking about him saying it. He says, you got to start believing what you're saying. Tonight, you're going to make petitions over people you know. Tonight, you're going to make petitions over finances. Tonight, you're going to make petitions to God about your future. Tonight, you're going to make petition to God about healing. Tonight, you'll make petitions to God about your children or whatever it might possibly be. Man, how about a revival for this city? If God can do something in San Bernardino, that means he can do something almost in any city in America. So he wants to do something here, but it's got to be a people who can speak to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, guess what, but believes what he says will be done. I don't have to see it to believe it's done. I know it's done because I petition God. It's a done deal. Whether I see it or not, guess what, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what, not seen. So therefore, that's what faith, Hebrews 11:1 says. Therefore, faith is that which I don't see. I don't need faith for something I see. This is about something I don't see. Therefore, when he says to these mountains, he says, believe in those things which he says is done, he will have. He didn't say, maybe you'll get it. He didn't say, well, here's Jesus talking, that you might get it, you know, if you get a little dewdrop from heaven. Maybe God will grace you out and give it to you. He says, oh, whatever he has. And guess what? I'm believing until what I do not see comes to pass. It becomes manifest. Then I'm believing it. I'm believing it when I pray it. But I'll see it because I don't have it today. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. God's working on it in the heavens for me. Amen. How about you? Why? Because when I come to God, I'm believing that he is. And he's a rewarder who does what? Diligently seeks him. Doesn't just say, come along, slap something up against God, say, well, I didn't get it. Yesterday, I didn't get it. I didn't get it last week. I didn't get it when I prayed. I guess I'm just not going to get it. We're going to get it. It's going to happen. Because that's what the Bible says. And I believe him for it, whether I see it or not. And guess what? Seeing it is just going to be manifest. I'm going to get excited when I see it, but I'm going to get excited today because it's done deal today. Now, verse number 24, Jesus speaking. Listen, I didn't say this stuff. Listen to what Jesus says. Verse number 24 comes along and says, therefore I say unto you, now he's talking to us. He says, whatever things you ask when you pray. Now, wait a minute. Whatever things? Whatever things? Well, I didn't say this. Whatever things is a whatever things. He says, whatever things you ask when you what do something. What does he say? Pray. Listen to this. So if I'm going to pray, I've got to have an attitude that I'm believing. I'm going to speak to them out in the problem. Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. I'm not going to doubt on the inside of me. I'm going to believe God that whatever I say is going to come to pass. Even though I don't see it, it's going to happen. Then he comes along and says, whatever things that you say, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. In other words, when I pray, I believe I receive it. No, you don't get it. When I pray, I don't believe I receive it when I see it. I believe I receive it when I pray. Believe that you'll receive them and you'll have them. So there's a timing to all of this. First, I got to come to God, and I must believe that he is, and realize that he said I've got to diligently seek him, which means I'm not going to always get the answers as quick as I want them to have. Therefore, I've got to be diligent in my approach to God. Then he comes along and says, speak to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall ever not doubt in his heart. In other words, you can't go along and say, well, I just petitioned God, didn't see it, I don't have it, therefore I guess I'm not going to get it. It might not be the will of God. If it's not the will of God, then don't pray it. What are you doing praying something that? If you believe God wants to heal you, set your family right. I mean, there's some things that are really God. Listen, if you come to God and say, well, I'm believing God for somebody else's wife. May I say this to you? That ain't the will of God, dummy. That isn't the will of God. But when you know, man, and you're single and you say, God, your Bible says that I can ask because it's better to be married than to burn. I'm starting to burn, God, so how about bringing me my wife? May I say this to you? That's the will of God. But so there's a will of God involved in these things. And then he comes along, therefore, when you say, whoever things you ask in prayer, believe that you receive them. You'll have them. Verse number 25, let's just check it out real quick. But here's verse 25, comes along and says something fascinating. And right there in reference, just pop it up, verse number 25. Do you have verse 25? I didn't have verse number 25, sorry. I wanted to go to verse number 25, but let me read it to you. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, now wait a minute. Verse number 25, if you have anything against anyone when you stand praying, which tells me, man, listen to what he's saying. He's outlining your prayer, telling you how to pray, telling you how to believe, saying you're going to get it. Then he comes along and makes a statement about your prayer. He says, there's no way you're going to get it if you don't put it together right. And he says, here's how to put it together right. He says, when you have stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven will also forgive you and trespassers. But if you don't forgive him, verse number 26, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. Isn't that out of sync with God? Then you expect to have prayers answered? Because you're holding something against someone else. Someone else who you probably doesn't even know you're holding something against them. And you're the only one that's hindered because you're the one that holds something against somebody else. Come on. Let's get rid of this.